Taurus, and welcome to your spring 2014 reading. My name is Eric Francis. I am an astrologer. We are about to talk about some astrology that is, as I look at these charts for Taurus again and again, they become more interesting almost exponentially, and I kind of feel like I'm getting a sense of what this story is about for you. And in a word, that word is the nature of healing. Healing process, your connection to healing process, your involvement with others in the healing process, your involvement with healers, and how they influence you, and ultimately your own emergence in the role of one who assists others. I am a reluctant user of the word healer because I really believe that ultimately the best healers are facilitators. They are people who offer us, first of all, a place of refuge, second of all, a place where our selfhood, our personhood, is presumed to be true, honored, and acknowledged, and there is a necessity for humility around the somewhat dangerous act of assisting another person, and I suggest really in all instances that it be entered into fully consciously, whether you are in the role of one who is being helped or in the role of one who is being called upon to help or to step up to your calling. And I would say on balance, from an understanding of and repeated, increasingly careful reading of your solar charts, that the underlying message is that you are stepping into the role of facilitator, of the one who is charged with the responsibility of recognizing personhood. And in one of the more brilliant psychological postures of The Course in Miracles, which I often add the caveat has many things that require careful interpretation and that can be misleading, but among the things that I think The Course in Miracles says clearly, in addition to being right about, is that part of the role of the healer is to see the person as healed. And this is not intended to be presumptive, but rather speculative, but rather to boldly recognize the part of, the attribute of, the inner quality of that soul level of a person that is absolutely fine. And the first role of anyone in a helping role is to make contact with that. A good therapist can see where the person is whole and integrated and work from that spot outward. As an astrologer, I look at the person I'm working with's experience of their chart and get the sense of how they are naturally inclined to handle things when transits happen, and assess their strengths and, of course, assess their weaknesses. But really, the thing I'm working with are the strengths of my clients and tapping into that and being able to show people where they really know what they're doing. In the sense of someone who is purely working on a spiritual level, as Course in Miracles, for example, is a profound course in training of, it is the relating to the thriving inner soul of a person, which, by the way, can be more or less challenging depending upon where they are in relationship to that. And so the healing theme and you emerging as a healer and then what that does to your own healing process is so integral to your charts, it's leaping up in every direction. So I'm going to start with something that might be slightly esoteric, which is the chart that I'm working with to do all 12 readings and how I arrived at that chart. 1977, a planet, a body, an object was discovered. It was called Chiron, discovered by a guy named Charles Kowal, and it was named shortly after. I'm not sure if it was named in 77 or 78, but one of the above. The astrology community became very excited about this because there really hadn't been anything except an asteroid discovered since Pluto, which was in 1930. That was before most astrologers were born. There were a couple, you know, around. But, well, let's see, like 1977, if you were born 1930, you'd be in your late 40s. So, you know, there were a few, but they were a kid and all that. So Chiron comes along in 1977. And by 1980, there is a thriving community of astrologers working on this with, I might add, the assistance of someone very helpful in the astronomy community by the name of Dr. Brian Marsden, whose name shall glow eternally in the pantheon of astronomers who loved us. And when Chiron was discovered, it was in Taurus. It was discovered at 3 degrees of Taurus and 9 minutes. Chiron was discovered in your sign. If you were born on April 23rd, it was discovered conjunct your sun. And this is an interesting thing about Chiron, because its place of birth is its spawning ground, its natural habitat. And Chiron has a beautiful connection with Taurus. Now, Chiron was in Taurus for the late 70s, part of the early 1980s. By maybe 84, it's in Gemini, so there's not a lot of people born with Chiron in Taurus, but the ones who are have a blessed Chiron, and really all Chiron placements can be tapped into as a source of blessing. But there's something beautiful about the fact that Chiron was discovered in Taurus. And what's especially interesting about right now is that all of these astrological festivities surrounding the Grand Cross of 2014, April 23rd, 2014, Chiron, the sun, is in the discovery degree of Chiron. Okay, Chiron was discovered at 3 degrees and 9 minutes of Taurus. And on that day, when Mars makes its square to Pluto and the whole sky aligns in this magnificent exact grand cross and a somewhat less exact grand trine, the sun is in Chiron's discovery degree. So when I worked out the chart to use for the spring reading, the position was so close, the sun's position was so close to the degree and minute of Chiron that I just adjusted the chart and put the sun right in that discovery degree and have tuned this entire process of channeling all of these readings for all 12 signs and rising signs to the sun in Taurus conjunct the Chiron discovery degree. That's one part of this. So I am drawing off of that energy of the discovery of Chiron. And what is so beautiful about Chiron's presence in astrology is that it represents a before and after moment for astrology. In one article a couple of years ago for the Mountain Astrologer, I wrote that Chiron has led the astrological field from behind. And the editors wrote back and said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, happy to explain. Let me take a couple of paragraphs and puff the length out a little bit more and tell you exactly what the fuck I mean by that. By that, I mean that there are many astrologers who don't use Chiron, for whom the jury's out on Chiron, for whom Chiron is still controversial 30-something years later, who were afraid of Chiron. But at the end of the day, Chiron represents astrology taking itself seriously as a holistic art form. By holistic, I mean into the realm of not merely prediction, mechanization, or divination, but actually a transformative art. And this takes place with its seed moment of Chiron in Taurus, and now, during the Grand Cross of 2014, the Sun is exactly aligned with that degree on that very day. And this is only the first of several indicators of this emphasis on healing process. Let me tell you one more that involves your ruling planet, Venus, and Chiron, which is that in the days right before the Grand Cross is exact, and on the day that the Sun enters Taurus in 2014, that's April 20th, 2014, at 1:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, there is a Venus-Chiron conjunction. And this is happening, as if for extra emphasis, on April 20th, the day that the Sun enters Taurus. So the Sun is highlighted because the Sun is in a new sign. It's in the sign where this, it's going to be for the Grand Cross. And on that day, the ruling planet of Taurus, Venus, is in Pisces, and it aligns with Chiron, as if to say, once again, Chiron is speaking to you. In a sense, you are being invited to emerge and feel and experience the inner presence of and the inner reality of Chiron. Now, what is that? I could easily burn up 3 or 4 hours telling stories about Chiron. I'm going to suggest that you read more about this. I'm going to make a note on your chart here to post Chiron articles. So on the homepage, when you look at the page with all the recording players, I will put a selection of my favorite Chiron articles so you can read and contemplate and study what Chiron is about from a number of different viewpoints. Okay, but the essence is the wholeness of being, the understanding of the world, the human entity, any other entity, as an integrated holos, as in holistic, whole being, as a whole system, a synergistic system, where the sum of the parts is greater than adding them up, into kind of like a, said properly, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. If you were to take a person apart and have like kidneys and a liver and a brain and a skull and fingers and a nose and all this, that's not a person. And so if you take that to its far logical extreme and you begin to think beyond the parts of what a person is, or the separate expressions of what a person is. Oh, this is me in my love life. This is me in my work life. They're different. This is me in my sports life. This is me playing ultimate frisbee, but this is me the painter, but that's different than me the person who listens to music. In the healing process, one of the things that I believe happens is those distinctions, those separate parts, that those inner divisions begin to melt into one another. They begin to flow, they communicate with each other, and ultimately dissolve completely. And the things that you do become the expression of who you are. Hence, many seemingly troubling questions are eliminated, like, what am I supposed to do the rest of my life? Or, this is my job, but it's not really me, and I don't really know if it's exactly me. Reverse that and start with, this is who I am, and everything I do, I am going to express who I am, including if that means asking the question, who am I? Same numerology value. You had a question mark. Who am I, or who I am, basically, though, are the same idea conceived of differently. And so you can express affirmatively who you are, or you can live in search of the question. Most of us do some of both. But the thing that is resolved in doing this, the thing that is healed in doing this, is the sensation of inner fragmentation, the sensation of that separate than that, and that separate than that, and this is separate from that, and that part of my life doesn't talk to that part of my life, and it would be so weird to have all the people from the different parts of my life in the same room because I wouldn't know how to act. This is painful. And to some extent, just about everyone does it in some way. There are secrets that we keep, and there are things that we wouldn't want this person to know, and things that we wouldn't want that person to know. We wouldn't necessarily want to have the content of previous relationships revealed to the current relationship. And in my experience and in my, say, philosophy of healing, in the healing process, those distinctions are dissolved. And this is emphasized by the conjunction of Venus and Chiron in Pisces, because Pisces is the sign of these dissolving boundaries, and it is the sign of the ocean contains, you know, there's 100 and something elements, and like you can like find like 80 or 90 of them in ocean water. Probably if you look hard enough, you can find every element in ocean water, and that's Pisces. And but more than that, there is a cosmic fusion level of Pisces that takes the earthy, physical, sensory experience of Venus and brings it out in a kind of a vibrational rainbow out into the many layers of existence. And the mysterious filament in that sort of bulb glowing in the middle of Venus and Pisces is Chiron, that thing that is that tap into the focusing agency, the thing that is able to identify and access all of those elements is Chiron in Pisces. And as part of all of this, brilliant astrology of 2014, in the spring of 2014, Taurus is emphasized because the sun will be in Taurus, and on the day the sun ingresses Taurus, this Chiron-Venus conjunction is perfect. And what it's suggesting is that your experience of being a self can expand onto levels that you did not imagine and that were not contained in a previous worldview. And perhaps most interestingly of all, if you start to access these levels, if you start to expand beyond what you previously thought was possible, your previous worldview must inevitably change, because previous worldview can't contain the information coming in through the world, which requires a new view of the world to contain what is possible. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you can kind of build your whole worldview around there's no such thing as UFOs, and anybody who saw one must have been seeing a weather balloon, but then one day you see a UFO, your cosmology has to change. There are many examples of this. I mean, we see them all throughout society. One of the most brilliant commentaries on 9/11 ever came at the end of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, who put out a documentary quoting the people who make skyscrapers stand up for a living, explaining why certain things about 9/11 can't be true based on how they personally make skyscrapers stand up. But what they did was they put a segment at the end interviewing psychologists who explain how the relationship between one's worldview and what we will choose to accept is in this ongoing orbit, this ongoing relationship, and how accepting things that are not part of your worldview change and expand your worldview. Now, this is particularly important for Taurus because of the many Tauruses I've known and loved and love in my life. One thing I can say is there is definitely a challenge around worldview and around the self-concept and the relationship between the self-concept and the worldview, which can be very focused and resistant to change. But there is something about your charts, something specific like an eclipse happening, that being exact on April 29th, which is saying, well, there's a rearrangement of your worldview in process, as indicated by the eclipse in your sign, but it is also indicated by this knowledge about how the healing process is about a wholeness process, about an integration process, and about an expansion of self-concept, which includes of necessity a more multidimensional idea of what you are. And with Venus, your ruling planet conjunct Chiron, in really what just stands out as a spectacularly beautiful cosmic map, an illustration, a picture, a gift to you, it's saying, wow, there is, you know, more to heaven and earth than you have dreamed of, and therefore there is more to you than you have dreamed of, and your influence is more profound than you have dreamed of, and you are in a position where you can be helpful in ways that take nothing from you and that only teach you and only give to you and only bestow a kind of an elegance of your relationship with existence. And you are stepping into that now. You are mature enough. You are awakening. You are gaining sufficient self-understanding, but much closer to home. Your direct relationship to the core energy of existence is opening up, and a direct tap into your cosmic sensibility and sense of presence and belonging, not just on Earth, not just in one lifetime, but as a citizen of existence. That is the gift of this magnificent alignment of the spring of 2014. Okay, so let's consider something a little more perhaps pragmatic. The alignment, which I describe in great detail in the Aries reading, somewhat long reading, 43 minutes, worth listening to, because this Aries Libra astrology is about all of us. It is telling all of our story on one level. And the way that it manifests for you is that Aries is the 12th house of Taurus. If you're Taurus rising, Aries is the solar, is the 12th house by whole sign houses. If you're Taurus sun, Aries is your 12th house by solar houses, the house before yours, the house of the most cryptic, the most I think the most interesting house, the house with the logic all of its own. And so there is this tremendous restlessness in Aries, in your 12th house. There is this, Uranus, the planet Uranus is there, and it is lighting up the inner planes for you. It is a complete, provocative, unparalleled challenge to your rationalism and your desire to have the world be a certain way, and it's almost like your Emily Post etiquette book is just kind of bursting into flames. And all the concepts of propriety that you have are not containing the experiences that you are having. And this may manifest many different ways, but it has a visionary quality. It has a potentially somewhat frightening quality in the 12th house. Uranus could be associated with some sense of panic and, like panic attacks that might not, qualify you for, a number from the diagnostic manual, but still nonetheless are shocking. There may be some dream activity that is startling, that is awakening, that you don't necessarily understand. All of this, I would say, is normal with so much 12th house activity, particularly with Uranus in that house. But I think that In terms of the structure of the sign Taurus, one of the most fascinating things about it is that Aries, the sign of self, is in your 12th house. So it's like this, the sign, the archetype of Aries that we all depend on to some extent to orient on who we are is located in the most cryptic house in your chart. And it's as if you're always trying to figure out who you are and can never quite get the logic of who you are down. It's always contradicting itself, and it's always like something new, and it's always like, wow, I'm so that, but I'm so that. You know, I had a very good Taurus friend many years, was Republican, and yet there wasn't one fucking thing Republican about this person when he was a Republican. Generosity, sense of individual, really person who believes human beings should be free and not controlled, and that women are people, and all these things that Republican philosophy is promulgated by the Republican National Committee. So it's like, I'm that, I'm so Republican, but really, I'm so that. And so with the self sign in the 12th house, there's that sense of polarity and dualism. It could also be manifesting as espousing a very liberal philosophy, but having very conservative behavior. There's always that polarized sensation coming from the 12th house. With Uranus there, there is an ongoing revolt against, first of all, the challenge of not knowing, this sensation of this sense of self is lost in the 12th house. Uranus is here now. No way I'm not going to find out. I'm going to revolt and explore, experiment, invent, try things I've never tried, imagine things I've never imagined, till I acquire some really vivid sense of self-presence in a way that is not strictly about a question, where there starts to be a composite picture, experiences one after the next that shock to awakening your sense of self-presence and actual existence on the planet as a creative and initiating being. Now, here's where another healing theme comes in. 12th house has all kinds of shadow stuff and ancestral stuff, and it's, you know, referred to by Brits as the dustbin. Sometimes Pisces is refused that way. It's where all the karma can get swept, and it's all the place of denial. It can act like the cosmic rug under which everything is swept, and it's easy to deny what's in the 12th house, but not when Uranus is there lighting the whole thing up like this inner cavern of forgotten existence. That is making it plain that there is nothing you can possibly deny, especially your self-presence in the world, your belonging on the planet. And the ruler of that house, the ruling planet, the delegate of that house and sign is Mars. Mars rules Aries, 12th house associated with Aries. So Mars is the agent of the 12th house. And where we find Mars is in the 6th house in Libra, retrograde, making many fancy maneuvers. And so the 6th house is the house of healing. This has its roots in the house of service. And so the house of service, and it's particularly military service, becomes the house of all forms of service, such as nursing. And then as the concept of astrology expands from the medieval view, beyond the spiritualist view into the humanistic view, and then into the psychological view. I'm giving you the basic phases of modern astrology. We're currently in the psychological astrology phase. The sixth becomes the house of healing and of service, and also of the work that we do, and the question of whether that work is truly in harmony with our concept of service. Now, for you, this is a little bit less of a question right now, the work thing being, but it does, it's going to manifest some interesting ways, but really the matter is personal. And one of the ways the matter is so personal is because this very personal introspective space of the 12th house is being manifested in a much more tangible, clear house, the sixth, the healing project, the space where we work, the space where work and healing intersect. And the other very interesting thing is that not only does Mars represent your 12th house, that inner dimension, it also rules your opposite house and sign, Scorpio. Therefore, it tells you something of the story of your relationships. And so what we get here is a picture of how your relationships are intertwined with your healing process and with the healing process of the person that you are involved with. Now, when we're in an intimate relationship, even a really sincere friendship or any quality working relationship, there will always be some dynamic of healing process between people, whether it's a little bit of friendly commiseration or whether it's the friend as therapist or the person who helps. But in this case, there is a very deep and almost inseparable intertwining between your own healing process and the healing process of someone else. And in any involvement or investment in healing process, it is essential to be able to sort out your own material from that of someone else. This can be very challenging because in this illustration, your own inward psychological and ancestral material, some would say baggage, some would just say all of that stuff that the world is so fascinated by and then forgets about 10 seconds after awakening, is in, first of all, directly under the spotlight of this astrology, this Grand Cross of 2014, but it is co-represented by someone specific, someone who is right there, someone with whom you are involved and invested, where in a sense you are doing the other thing necessary to healing, which is never seeing the other person's healing process as separate from your own. Another very interesting concept in the Course in Miracles. Healing training, psychology, therapy training says, make sure you distinguish. Don't get so involved in transference and counter-transference. But when we go to a more, let's say, soul-level concept, there has to be that understanding that when I'm healed, I'm not healed alone, and that my healing process facilitates the healing process of those around me, and as I am active witness to and assistant in the healing process of others, I learn about them, about myself. I learn the ways in which these are totally integral, and I'm able to resolve things within myself that I am able to then strengthen myself by, hold as an example for others, to see examples, negative and positive, in others, and be able to take that learning and bring it forward and practice, teach, learn, practice, teach, learn. Kind of what it means to be a healer. And, you know, the beauty of being a therapist, being an astrologer, being a card reader, I believe when it is done with absolute sincerity, is that one is always involved in a reflexive process of growth with the people that they're working with. There, you know, in the peak of my astrology career, working with clients, it was like being in therapy all day and as productive, because I was learning so much about myself as a kind of a byproduct, really. Like, it was almost like there's this little kind of collection bin off to the side in my mind where I was a witness to and reflecting back the things I was learning from my clients and learning and gaining knowledge and self-presence and power from the whole process. This is one reason why you never want to work with a healer who seems bored, because they're not learning. The process always feeds the actively engaged healer. An example is when I do these kind of readings wherein I can't listen, and I love to listen, get so much information from you, but that's that one little bit of direct listening to you before the fact is constrained. As I do these readings, there is in almost everyone some transcendent breakthrough in my understanding of astrology, which you would think would be impossible after 20 years, but it never fails. And so here's where you know the healing process is real, because everyone is benefiting from it. It is a plus-plus symbiosis. Both parties to the relationship gain and only gain. Maybe you might be a little tired, but that can go away after a while. Only gain from the process and the experience. So there's a few things going on here, but I will take the concept of healing on two parallel dimensions, which are closely related. One of which is what you are doing with certain people who are very close to you. One such relationship may involve a work relationship, because the scenario is in the sixth house, and there are certain paradoxes you're working out. Another aspect of that might be an intimate relationship, because it involves Mars, your opposite planet, and there might be a relationship or two with people you perceive as healers and with teachers. That's going on in kind of like one cosmos, and in the other cosmos is your curiosity, your involvement with, your understanding of specifically of healing technology, of whatever draws you out as a mode of participation in this process. And I would suggest here that if you are feeling any calling, or if you're involved with anything that is related to healing process, that you do your best to dive into that and learn as much as possible, including learning from mentors, learning from people. And by the way, one of the beautiful things about Chiron, which has this magnificent, astonishing, verging on cosmically hilarious double signification of being in the Discovery Degree, the day of the Grand Cross, and being in a Venus conjunct Chiron, the theme of mentorship is so vital. And I suggest you look at who your mentors are, decide how you feel about them, and more than anything, respect your mentors, honor the information that you have, and the experience, the here and now experience, Chiron key concept to the maximum, here and now experience of that learning process. Be present for it. Be present for that learning model, and utilize the opportunity to experience Chiron in one of its most beautiful manifestations, which is as mentorship. And I know there's many people who so wish they could have a mentor. Well, they come in strange forms and strange shapes sometimes. And, you might be 50 and very subtly have a teenager as your mentor, because this person is just a font of wisdom, and they exist in a younger world. Or it might be that you recognize a much older person as a mentor. It can come in so many different forms. And there's the other side of this. And you have to recognize them when you see them to be able to take advantage of them, right? It may not be in the movie thing, Karate Kid goes to the sensei and teaches them how to catch flies with chopsticks. Might not be quite in that regard. But any teacher would count to some extent. And your choice to teach others, to assist and work with others in a way that above all involves the example that you set for specific individuals, the example that you set for yourself, and the example that you set for all of existence with your own existence. Mentorship teaching by example, learning through example, the transfer of knowledge, the commitment to utilizing that knowledge in an original way. Very beautiful astrology, I must say. I am completely thrilled that this is happening. And I kind of had to really think about what this was and look at these charts. I've been on a kind of a campaign. I'm starting these recordings a little bit later than I planned, partly because I've been up all night for two nights casting discovery charts for obscure planets and plunging into the nuances and subtleties of this. And then this picture just emerged. So beautiful thing. Taurus, a sign we could not live without, none of us. And everyone has some important Taurus person in their life. And I assure you that for one or more people, you are that person. Don't forget, listen to your rising sign. If you are not Taurus rising, check Scorpio for relationship information, or if whatever your rising sign is, check the opposite sign as well. I will soon have the Taurus birthday reading done, so don't forget to look for that. Thank you for tuning in to this message. It has been a pleasure, as ever. I will catch you on a different day.